Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house again today. Lord, we thank you for the movement and presence of the Holy Spirit that we felt today. Lord, we ask your blessing on this offering today now, and we thank you, Lord, for the faithful support that you have spoken to your people to give this church, Lord. And I know you're blessing them bountifully for it. Bless this offering now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may receive.
Kind of hard to sing and cry. Hold on, I gotta breathe. Go ahead, Chris.
Of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpets as gay sounds the call, and at that midnight cry, we'll be going home. Prophecies fulfilled, every day signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Oh, and I can almost hear the Father. Go get my children, and at that midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise. When Jesus steps going home. look around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. The signs of the times were there appearing everywhere.
Right there? Amen. My time here at this church, what it's meant to my family, me and my wife and Elijah, it's been an awesome time. I've been in several churches since I've been saved and as a believer, and this has been the only fellowship that I really have any real true growth. And I'm glad to see my friend Kim McKnight even in here today. I remember a couple years ago at his shop, and, you know, we both being brothers in the Lord, he said, Mahari, you've grown. I can see something different, you know, in your life. And I knew it was a direct result from the food that I was getting here. And my mind even goes back to 6 or 7 years ago when me and Monique just went through everything. We lost our home. We lost even our foundation, it seems like. And at that same time in my life was when God began to pour in through this church the message of the cross. And that message kept me. It's kept me. And I've got one thing to say is we preach Christ crucified. Hallelujah. We preach Christ crucified. And I've come to know, and I've come to be convicted that there's nothing else that'll do the trick. Amen. Nothing. And no matter where we go, no matter where life takes us, I know one thing, that in Christ it's going to be all right. Amen. So give God a hand. Hallelujah. 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 Turn in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians. The first chapter. Verse 23. There's a revelation in my license plate. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 23. We're going to read this, then we're going to pray. And then after that, we're going to camp out in Mark 17, verse 11. But it says, let's start in verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. Verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Father, we come to you right now by the authority in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for what you've done. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that our testimonies as we grow in you no longer point to man. Although man plays a part, Father, it always goes back to you. And even more poignant, it goes back to what you did on Calvary. Yes, Father, I thank you for that understanding and that central truth and the power that's in its simplicity. And Father, this family that's here, my church family, my friends, my family, Father, as I've looked hard what to say, what would be your last words to say under a pulpit? Because you never know when we can see each other again. Father, I thank you, Lord, that which you've given me will go far, will accomplish everything that you set it forth to do. And I thank you that you've prepared the hearts of every believer in here. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 17 and go ahead and park yourself on verse 11. But what we just read, that was in 1 Corinthians, said that we preach Christ crucified. It's a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. And if there's one thing I can leave us with or say, if you've never got anything out of my ministry, amen, it is to say that Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary did not just solve our need for justification, but it also solved our need for sanctification. You say, well, what to make that a little bit plainer. We sometimes coin a phrase, salvation. And salvation isn't just to be justified. How many know justification is awesome? Just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. And if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, my friend, you're justified. Hallelujah. But we face a dilemma in this era, in this generation, where sanctification is being looked at as something other than salvation. Brothers and sisters, it's the same thing. Amen. Colossians says, as you receive Christ, so walk ye in him. Hallelujah. That walk for God is sanctification. But Paul says what we just read in 1 Corinthians, and he says sometimes it's foolishness. or it can even become a stumbling block. I believe he wrote that to Christians. And how do Christians stumble over the cross? I'll tell you why Christians stumble over the cross. Because it's a lot more popular to turn to the latest fads, the latest schemes, the latest tricks coming down the pipeline for your sanctification. Now, where we're going to go in Luke 17, it's going to tie in. Let's look at verse 11. It says, and it came to pass, as he went unto Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, I find most of my times in studying that when there's two communities mentioned and Jesus going through the midst even more so, Holy Spirit's trying to tell us something. Amen. So I looked up a couple things. Samaria. Samaria was the same place that Jesus went to the woman at the well. Samaria was the place where you had basically a lot of half-breeds, half Jewish and half Gentile. How many of you know Samaritans were the outcasts of society in that time? They often bickered with the other parts of Israel. And he said that he went through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. I looked up Galilee. You know, Galilee was the same place that they didn't respect Jesus for being the Son of God, but they wanted to respect him for being the son of Joseph, for being the carpenter boy. This was the same place where Paul talked about foolishness to the Greeks, for men desire wisdom. Galilee was the place where they were more astute. They were more into wisdom. They were more into your genealogy, and they took pride in that. How many of you know the body of Christ is the same way? The body of Christ, a lot of times in this generation we live in today, will not accept Jesus for being the one that shed his blood, but they want to accept him for being the one that is the God of love. They won't accept him for being the Messiah and the only way maker, but they'll sure look to him to say, he's the God that wants to go reach the law, feed the hungry. Amen. Jesus is a God that wants to feed the hungry. But let me tell you something. You need some blood in your life. Hallelujah. You could be fed, but what good is being fed if you're on your way to hell? Hallelujah. What are you saying, preacher? What I'm telling you is the body of Christ is sinking fast in an ocean, and we're trying to hand them a suit. Amen. The body of Christ is falling, and we're trying to tell them that there's a nice plate of food over here. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ wants you to accept him for being the Messiah. Hallelujah. But he said he went through the midst of both of these communities. Oh, I love that. You know why? Because Jesus is going through the midst in this generation. There's a message of the cross. Amen. And I found no other message that'll find you like this message. Hallelujah. I found no other message that'll hit you where your pride is. I found no other message that'll turn your whole relationship on upside down. I found no other message that'll go to the root of where the problem is and shine a spotlight on it. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is what this is pointing you to. He's walking today, church. Amen. He's going through the midst of your situation. He's going through the midst of your foolishness. Hallelujah. He's going through the midst of your wisdom. He's going through the midst of the things you think you love, and he's trying to find you. Hallelujah. And it said that he went through the midst of Samaria in Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, ooh, stop right there. You know, I used to argue with Jehovah's Witnesses because they would say that there is no hell. Me and Ken would argue with them at the shop at times. But you know what? They would twist the scripture of the rich man Lazarus, who was in hell. And they said, you know, that's just a parable. But how many of you know when he uses a certain name, he uses a certain person, it's not a parable, this is a real story. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that he went to a certain village. Hallelujah. And if you've got a certain bill on your counter, amen, you've got a certain pack of cigarettes you're trying to wean off of, you've got a certain bottle of liquor that you can't say no to, you've got a certain person that keeps drawing you to him, amen, I'm here to tell you Jesus is going to a certain village. Hallelujah. He went to a certain village. Say, what was this village? This was a village where, interesting enough, they had colonies of leopards. And we all know that leprosy is a type of the sin nature. How many know the message of the cross, one of the core tenets of what we preach, is that this power that we're talking about will actually take and go to the root of man's problem. Man's problem isn't that mommy didn't love you enough. Some people carry that stuff for on into their 50s and 60s. Although I still think she loved you more, Mike. The problem isn't the Republicans. And the problem isn't the Democrats. The problem isn't the people on the west side of town. The problem isn't the people on the east side of town. How many of you know that Jesus came to take away the sin? Hallelujah. The sin nature is the problem. And what we preach is the only answer for man's sin dilemma is the cross of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. And when they went to this colony, to this certain village, how many of you know there was a common denominator between the Republicans and the Democrats? How many know there was a common denominator between that which was in Samaria and between that which was in Galilee? It was the plague disease called leprosy. How many know leprosy is ugly? Leprosy will have you living on the outside of town. Leprosy is a type in this picture of the law. Leprosy is the law. You say, what are you saying, law? What we preach about the message of the cross, Romans, is that the law and grace are diametrically opposed. And when we say the law, it's not the Ten Commandments by itself. Anything you invent to get away from the cross for your answer is law. Hallelujah. So if you go read horoscopes, somebody say law. If you go read 30 Days of Purpose, somebody say law. If you quote the Jabez Prayer 100 times to get your financial need met, somebody say law. Amen. So law is what this is representing. Let's keep going. It said, he entered into a certain village, met he 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. The Lord told me that it said 10 men because it is a type of the Ten Commandments or the law. And he wants you to see that. But it said they were lepers and they stood afar off. You know why they stood afar off, church? Because the sin nature and leprosy wants to pervert you so bad that it wants to set you outside of society. It wants to put you not only in prison physically, but even mentally and emotionally, but it wants to take you outside of your family. It wants to take you out and lose your job. It wants to take you and lose every relationship that you've ever had. Ask me how I know. Hallelujah. But you know what it also reminds me of? Because these same lepers had to go announce to people, I'm unclean. They had a minimum of 100 yards to stay back. And just to protect the society, they had to let you know I'm unclean. And then to add insult on injury, they had to wear ripped clothes and let their hair mat up. Now, I know some people let their hair mat up and they think it looks cool these days, but it wasn't cool. Amen. It's called leprosy. It's called the sin nature. And Jesus went to address it. Hallelujah. In verse 13, and they lifted up their voices. And my mind went when I read this. I remember being in a stupid 12-step program, and I had to announce to everybody how unclean I was. I had to lift up with a loud voice. You talk about law. Let me tell you something. No believer of Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary has a place in a 12-step program. There's no place for you, my friend, because you know that it's law. You know that you're going backwards. When there's all this grace, why would you go to announce to somebody I'm an unclean sinner and I'm a drunk? No, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And not only did he take the bottle away, he took the crack away. He took the lying away. Hallelujah. I'm telling you about what Jesus is going to do. Hallelujah. But he said, and he lifted up their voices and they said, Master, have mercy on us. You know what? Jesus ended up cleaning them. And there's a message in there. Some of us need to quit trying to look so cute. Hallelujah. And say, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. you know, we can get on these leopards. But let me tell you something. They had enough sense to cry out and say, Jesus, help me. You know what? A leopard could only be declared dirty from a priest. And because of the boils and the things that they had on their skin, they were not able to even go into the priest. The priest had to go to them. How many of you know Jesus had to go to us? Hallelujah. Perfect picture. Jesus had to find you. Hallelujah. And it said, they lifted up their voices and said, Master, have mercy on us. The Lord showed me something in that. They didn't ask for grace. They asked for mercy. See, grace is you getting something that you really didn't deserve, something good. But mercy is holding back something bad that you really do deserve. Amen. That's why you ask the court for mercy. Please have mercy on this sentencing because I know I deserve it. You know, there's something in the heart of these people, at least one of them we're going to find out, to where they understood that I deserve everything that I got coming. You know, the message of the cross teaches you that. You know, the message of the cross is where I learned that, you know what? I remember Brother Larson said at the old church, he said, if I got what I really deserved, amen. But when most of the body of Christ is saying, why me? Amen. Man of God, you're so powerful and you're so mighty. Well, then how come I'm sitting here struggling? But you know what? The Bible lets us know that if you're struggling today, that doesn't mean that you're not a child of God. If you're having trouble with finances, it doesn't mean you're not saved. Amen. If you don't got a bigger car than I got, it doesn't mean that you're separated from the household of faith. But he said, have mercy on me. I know I'm in a dilemma. I know that I'm struggling. And instead of saying, why me, Jesus? Why was I cursed with this? He said, Jesus, just let me reap this in mercy. Amen. Have mercy. Somebody say, have mercy, Lord. I've never seen another message in my life that taught me to have a humble spirit. Verse 14. And when he saw them, woo, that's your answer. Jesus needs to see you. They got shirts they wear today that have the little slogans on the t-shirts. I have one that makes me laugh. It says, you can't see me. Amen. Let me tell you, you better let God see you. Hallelujah. I want God to look at my situation. Lord, I got two bills on the counter right now. Jesus, look at them, please. Amen. I got some things in my heart right now that I'm still taking before you, Lord. Please look at me. Have mercy on me. Somebody say, have mercy. Hallelujah. And when Jesus seen them, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priest. My goodness. Go show yourself to the priest. Amen. I know when I got saved, when I finally got set free from crack cocaine, I felt led to go show myself to my mama. Hallelujah. The one that knew I was messed up. Go show yourself. Hallelujah. Some of y'all got some things going on right now, but when it comes off of your back, hallelujah, you can go show yourself to your wife. You know why? Because your wife will tell you, she'll tell on you. She really knows what's going on. Hallelujah. But when you get free from that anger, hallelujah, you can go show yourself. Hallelujah. And there was a message in showing yourself to the priest. You know why? The priest was the only one that can declare him clean again. Oh, that's so much our salvation and our sanctification. Jesus is the only one that could declare me guilty. You know, Romans says that all men are declared guilty against the holy God. Not man didn't. I could care less what people think. God already said it. But, you know, he's the other one, the only one that can clean you up. He's the only one that can say you're clean. Amen. And when Jesus sent him to go to the priest, it wasn't to really make him clean. It was just to confirm, because you know what? God wants to set people back in their society. Hallelujah. Because sin will break you up for where you can't even be integrated in society. You can't even be a productive citizen anymore. It'll destroy all of it. But God wants to put you back. Hallelujah. God wants to bring not just back your finances, bring back your husband and your wife. He also wants to make you socially able to be socially acceptable in your community. Hallelujah. And this ain't a community gospel. Hallelujah. We don't believe, let's go out here and sing kumbaya with everybody. But how many of you know, if you get the cross through this town, if the cross of Jesus Christ is held up, the society will fix itself. Hallelujah. I tell you, the race issue, people need to give their heart back to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Right here you see two different communities always at odds with each other. They're sitting there because of sin. you know what? The Lord told me, he said, there's a blessing in bondage. That sounds crazy hearing it, but you know why? When you've got a bondage, when you've got an issue, when you've got a struggle, you're at your most humblest point. It shouldn't be that way, but you know what? You'll look up to God. You'll say, have mercy on me, Jesus. And the problem, one of the problems with the body of Christ, we've gotten so gospel fat, we've gotten so spoiled that we quit looking to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. It's like that storm. The wind is blowing my pages. All right. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. You know, there was 10 that got delivered, but one of them turned around. And the Lord showed me, I asked the Lord, why? You know, the law can only produce the sin nature. That's all it produces. And you know another byproduct of the law is self-righteousness. But when you're under grace and you're under the true gospel, you know, they had the gospel then too. It wasn't the good news that the Messiah has come, but it was the good news that he was coming. Hallelujah. They had an animal sacrificial system just like we do too. We look back, they looked forward. And I believe the one that came back was one who was rooted and grounded in what we call today the cross. You know why? Because it produced a God righteousness. It produced a humility that you can't get from any other message. It produced, and especially in these times that we live in, where it's so tough. And how many of you know America's about to hit another economic whack? That prosperity gospel, you can hold on to it if you want to. How to be a success. How about how to be free? Hallelujah. How about how to get delivered? Hallelujah. How about how to know Jesus even more? Because then you could go through anything when you've got peace. Hallelujah. And I believe this brother here had something that the other 9 didn't have. He had his faith squared and that the Messiah was coming. Because even though he had boils, he had nothing to do with it. How many of you know the sin nature is the same way? We were born and shaped in iniquity. I didn't have a choice. It just came to me. But the choice is whether or not you take the humble route or whether you take the fads coming down the pipeline. Hallelujah. But it said, he said with a loud voice, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I like that loud voice. You know, we're Pentecostals. Amen. We believe in the Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah. And you know where the loud word is. God's going to return the shout. Hallelujah. God wants to return the shout back to the church. Hallelujah. And it ain't a fleshly shout, but just listen to me shout. No, it's a shout that says, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was dying and he set me free. Hallelujah. I didn't have any hope, but he's discovered me. He found me. Hallelujah. That's what brought this brother back with the loud voice. And God's going to bring it back. Why? Because in this hour, he's returning the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's trading the fads for the truth. Hallelujah. And he's going right in the middle. Hallelujah. Right in the middle of Samaria. He's going right in the middle of Galilee. Hallelujah. And he's going to find right where we're at because the common denominator is sin. The common denominator is sin. You could be preaching 40 days of purpose. You could be preaching Kenneth Hagin stuff of the Word of Faith movement. But I got one question. How's that working for you? Are you in a colony hiding? Are you acting like it's one way, but it's really another way? Because at the end of the day, we're at a special time, church. Don't give up because attendance may be down. Don't give up because it seems like it's more popular to go another way. It's always that way when you're on the truth. Amen. I'm telling you, hold on to Jesus Christ. He's cracking the sky any day now. He's about to blow this thing up. There's people that are in colonies. Amen. There's people that are waiting to hear the gospel. There's people that are waiting to hear the truth. And they're waiting to hear just the way we're going to present it. Hallelujah. They're tired of this junk. And 10 may hear it, but one's going to hear it. Hallelujah. One's going to hear it. And it came to pass that he went and they were cleansed. And it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. I like that it said that. And he was a Samaritan. Why did it even mention it unless it's important? The Samaritans were the outcast. I got another word for you, church. The outcast is the ones that needs to be in here too. Amen. The outcast and the downtrodden. As we keep on reading, you're going to even hear they're a stranger. How many of you know we were strangers? If you end up coming to Christ, you were a stranger because none of us were Jews. Hallelujah. We were all grafted in. Hallelujah. Verse 17, and Jesus answered, where were there not 10 cleansed? But where's the 9? There are not found who return to give glory to God save this stranger. You know what? They got a song, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. Da, 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 da. You know what? In this case, I'd be proud to be a Samaritan. Amen. I'd be proud to be the down and out. I'd be proud to be out of a crack house. Amen. I'd be proud to be one that was drunk. Hallelujah. I'd be proud to say I was one that was a liar. I'd be proud because you know what? I've got a testimony. Amen. He came and found me when nobody else could. I was a stranger. Hallelujah. I was a stranger. And he brought me in. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to get the stranger. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to consider yourself amongst the strangers, amongst the feeble. Hallelujah. Because not many noble are called, but he has chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 19, and he said unto them, arise, go your way, for your faith has made you whole. Another tenet of what we preach is that it's not just faith, but it's proper faith. Yes. Faith is generic. Faith. Faith. Star Trek has faith. Star Wars, I think. Yoda. You stare hard enough and stuff starts to levitate. How many know the faith of God hits the cross every time? And if your faith is hitting your church attendance, you're wrong. If your faith is hitting your Bible reading, you're wrong. If your faith is hitting a men's group, if your faith is hitting anything you've got confidence in other than the exclusive work that Jesus did on the cross, I'm not saying, my brother or sister, you're not saved. This is written to Christians. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that your sanctification can be halted, but it's easily fixed. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes walking down your road, hallelujah, when he hits that colony between the two places, when he hits that place where the turmoil is, I dare you to listen to him. I dare you to get his attention so he can see you. I dare you to cry out, help me, Jesus. I dare you to not worry about how you look or how you feel at that moment. I dare you to look to him. Hallelujah. He never refuses. And he showed me one other thing. There was 10 that got healed, but only one even had the right heart. Don't think because you had a manifestation that your faith's got to be right where it should be. Oh, I know I'm right. And you won't even do a self-evaluation to see. The Bible says, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. It's a faith question. And to think that as much junk that's coming down the pipelines on television, just day to day, that we can't get moved, church, oh, you're hugely mistaken. But just because you felt something, just because he paid that bill last month, just because you got the healing, does not mean that everything is squarely on the cross. Because God loves us so much in our sin, he'll still heal you. God loves us so much, he'll still touch you. God loves us so much just for asking, he'll turn and bless you anyway. And it does not mean proof positive, you're on the square. Hallelujah. Amen. But there's another verse, and I'm going to turn this back over to my pastor that we didn't highlight, but I don't want to miss it. Hallelujah. But it said, go back to 14. It says, and when he saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. But the second half says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. When the altar call comes, when God begins to move by his spirit, I'm not talking about flesh. Set in these services time after time when our pastor says God is saying, come down or in your seat, whatever. He blessed them even as they were moving. Hallelujah. It's obedience. Amen. That's all he's looking for. And when the altar call comes, when the plea comes, when the word of knowledge comes forth and he says, praise me. Church, let's start praising him. Amen. When the word from God comes and he says, come down right now if you've got a need. What good is it to sit there if you got a need? Come down. Amen. He's going to touch you before you even get here. Hallelujah. If everybody would just stand to your feet. Hallelujah. 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 You would play something. Amen. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for helping me stumble through this word today. But Father, I thank you that the message is still clear. It's about you as Jesus Christ and him crucified exclusively. And Father, I thank you for the message you gave me. That the common denominator, I don't care what side of the denominational lines we come from. I don't care what sides of the denominational lines we're on. I don't care what side of the political lines we're on. I don't care what color, what background, what creed. Father, at the end of the day, there's needs. At the end of the day, there's bills that are mounting up. At the end of the day, there's kids, Lord, that aren't obeying like they should. And if not, something doesn't happen, we can see a wrong tangent they're going to go on. Father, at the end of the day, there's still some thoughts that are holding us captive. There's still some things that we don't want, some cigarettes, Lord, and maybe alcohol. I don't know. But Father, at the end of the day, you walked through that same village that most people go around because you're that kind of God. You're the kind of God that finds us. Hallelujah. And Lord, you used the gospel today. You use men, but it's only to give an utterance. Your word does it for us, Lord. Lord, the Bible says that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God. Hallelujah. And Father, if there's any needs in this room, I would ask you to begin to deal with people. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've got a need, because I know some hands are up just in worship, but if you've got a need that only God can fix, just wave your hand at me. Amen. 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 I see the hands. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I'm not doing this for me. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost told me to do last night. He said that as you walked, he was going to already deliver you. And I just ask those that waved at me, come down before the Lord. Amen. Come down before the Lord, and he's already going to set that knee free. Hallelujah. He's already touching you even as you're walking. He's touching you. Hallelujah. He's touching you even as you're walking. Hallelujah. And when the manifestation comes, even as the one of the 10 lepers fell to his face and started worshiping God, go on and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Go on and thank the Lord because he did what nobody else could do. He did what nobody else could do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we give you the glory. And when you leave, hallelujah, the Lord said, go show the priest. Amen. Go show the priest. If it's finances, go show the debtor. Hallelujah. If it's anger, go show the spouse. Amen. Whatever it is, go show proof. There's testimonies being built. There's testimonies being built today. Hallelujah. Pastor, if you would help me pray for these. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, touch her, Lord, right where she's at. Hallelujah.
We've already honored Carly's faith.
Thank you.
We praise you, Lord. Obedience to your word today, spoken by your servant.
It's me.
Hallelujah. Just keep worshiping, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just keep worshiping. Hallelujah. Just keep worshiping. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you for testimonies being made, Lord. We can go show. Hallelujah. We can go show. Hallelujah. 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 We'll show the brethren. Hallelujah. And as we show the priest, Lord, that's Jesus giving the confession that we're declared unblameless. We're declared not guilty. We're declared healed. Hallelujah. For he ever liveth to make intercession. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, I love you guys. Hallelujah. I love you guys. It's just a... It's just a pause in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Proof that we're made whole. That's why that man came back in faith, believing. Not only did he receive his physical healing, Jesus told him, "Thy faith has made thee whole." What was he in effect telling him? Everything is right now. Body, soul, and spirit, all is right. And that's something to rejoice about. And I appreciate your boldness, Mahari, in speaking what the Holy Spirit laid on your heart. And I believe, I sense the movement of the Holy Spirit to each and every one of you who stepped out in faith believing, predicated upon the word that was spoken by the man of God, Mahari, that the Lord would touch you as you were approaching this altar. I felt the power of God saturating this altar as you came, and I know many of you were touched again by the nail-scarred hand this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, Ravon, would you come up here right now and bring the... We've got a couple of gifts that the church wants to give you guys. And you know you're always going to be our family, no matter where you are. And you know we're always only a phone call away if you ever need anything. But I'd like to have you all, if you would, come up here right now. We would have done this a little bit more elaborately. And come on up, both of you. We would have done this a little bit more elaborately for you, but you know we didn't have a lot of time. With this being your last Sunday with us, we would have had you a dinner. But we are going to be taking them out to dinner today after church. And we just wanted to give you a love gift and a blessing here. And we just hope this will be a help to you as you make this transition. And we just love the both of you very, very much. And God bless you. We're going to miss you. I want you all to stretch forth your hand toward him. I want to pray for him before we leave today. Would you hold this? Heavenly Father, today as we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much for the time that you gave Monique, Mahari, and Elijah to us. Lord, I can't tell you the times this family has been a blessing to me personally, and you've used them to uplift me as the pastor of this church and to assist me greatly. Lord, they're gifted and they're called. And Lord, I know that you're going to make them a blessing wherever they go because they are a blessing. And Lord Jesus, we just pray that you'll give them wisdom, that you'll go before them, prepare each step, open doors, Lord. Give them good deals on things that they're going to need and give them specific direction on where to find a place to live, where to go. And Lord, just if Monique needs a new job down there, Lord, we just pray you'll open the door for that. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless Mahari in this new position, greater and a hundredfold more than he's ever known before. And Lord, may they always know they're our family. They're our family, Lord Jesus. We'll never break fellowship from them. And Lord, I just know you're going to keep your hand upon them. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for the gift they've been to us individually and to this body corporately. Bless them now with all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus as they make this move to Florida. We commit them to the nail-scarred hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, who I know will care for them in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
It just won't be the same to not hear Monique in the back say talk about it. Now will it?
Praise God. Praise God. I'll just go ahead and dismiss us in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful word that has been given from the throne room of God today. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that was imparted. Lord, we thank you for the spiritual gifts that have flowed. And we thank you for the power of God that has been dispensed in our lives one more time today. Lord, go with us now the rest of this day until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.